Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Anytime we talk to Olin, there is a spirit of giving, and we really enjoy that. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Olin. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Happy Victory Monday.
Yeah, it's a glorious, glorious day. They played their best game of the year. Mm-hmm. And they played maybe as bad a team as they're going to play, and that's good. You know, not only they take care of business, but they helped improve their second-round pick, keep that thing at the top of the second round. So congratulations to the Bears. I thought the quarterback played well. I thought it was a good game all the way around. You can't really complain about it.
No, you can't. And a good thing, you know, as a group that took – has taken a lot of criticism. The offensive line played really well, I thought, right? They protected Caleb Williams really well against that Carolina Panthers team. And I know what everybody would say, but you can only play who shows up on Sunday. So it takes a good team to beat a bad team really bad. And the Bears beat a bad Carolina team, but they beat them convincingly. And that's, you know, that's a positive to watch that football game. The defense, the secondary, after having some holes against the Rams, played really, really good. I thought they were lights out. The Bears pass rush wasn't great yesterday, but the secondary, it looked like, you know, I can't see the all 22 yet, but it looked like Dalton, you know, he didn't want to throw the ball at all. So coverage was tight, starting with TJ Edwards' coverage on the first third down. And from then on, with Brisker's hit, causing the fumble, and Caleb Williams, the way he played, I'm sure you guys have talked about his pass to DJ Moore. You know, again, ending a half with points is what you always talk about. You want to see a quarterback do. The next step would be winning a game, obviously, at the end of the game. But Bears offense, Bears defense, complete win yesterday. Fun to watch them play at that level and fun to watch them perform and fun to watch the rookie quarterback who we're all watching continue to improve. Shane Waldron's concepts, everything went well yesterday. There was a drive. I think it was the first or second drive in the second half, and it almost looked like Aaron Rodgers out there, right? It was a spread formation. It was empty formation. It was a second drive. He hit Cole Kmet. He hit Rome Odunze. He hit DJ Moore. He hit Keenan Allen, guys, all in a row for first downs and yardages and compiled yardages. I think that's time they got a penalty by the goal line. They had to move back. They didn't get the touchdown, but it was one of those drives where you're thinking, man, this is the kind of team they can beat.
How much autonomy do you think that Caleb Williams has at the line of scrimmage when they go up tempo? And how much do you think that was responsible for getting things going yesterday? Because it seems like the faster they played, the better he got.
Yeah, it's a good question because we've been watching this, right? We say, man, this quarterback, this young quarterback, makes a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage. They seem to give him a lot of responsibility. And as you're saying yesterday, they went up tempo again. They got the offense going. He was in and out of checks. Him and the center had a beautiful conversation one time at the line of scrimmage about what the defense was doing to them and what check they should be in. Him and Coleman Shelton's. Obviously, their connection, their communication is growing. And that's not an easy thing to get on the same page with a new offense, a young quarterback, and a new center. So they're getting there. He's doing a lot, David, actually, at the line of scrimmage, getting in and out of plays, recognizing looks, getting him into pass plays that he wants to be in, getting into run plays that he wants to be in. So it's fun to watch. It's fun to listen to that communication at the line of scrimmage. Obviously, what everyone's running in college nowadays, he's used to up-tempo. He wants to get going. He's comfortable in that. He's comfortable moving that offense along, getting to the line of scrimmage. You know, not a lot of these young college guys are real comfortable huddling up and calling the long play calls that a lot of NFL teams do. So credit to Shane Waldron for running something, concepts that gets Caleb comfortable, gets him moving, gets the offense going, gets the offense up tempo. And especially, you know, Coach Eberflus, I think, talked to it during the week, when you have two new young linebackers and they have to communicate on their side of the ball, right? They had injuries at their two linebacker positions. They had new guys out there calling the plays, getting the defense organized. So I think that was part of the game plan to get the Panthers out there on the field. You saw DJ Moore's first touchdown, miscommunication by them. They drop him on those crosser routes. He comes free, touchdown. So you want to get a defense with a lot of injuries, especially to their play callers, especially the guys that line everybody up. You want to get them communicating, and you want to take the defense coordinator out of the play call.
You know, it was interesting, Olin, because the game didn't start phenomenally. The first pass – that Caleb Williams attempted really could have been a pick six, other than I think the receiver got a hand on it, right? It was pushed out of the hands of the defender, but other than that, it would have been a disaster. And then, Chuba Hubbard gets himself going early in that game, and they get a touchdown, and you're just kind of like, wow, like they're not as sharp as you think. And then they just, then it was like 30 unanswered points or something. I mean, it was just like, whoa, And yeah, I think, the pass to DJ Moore at the end of the half, that was like something the Bears haven't done in a while. That was that put the game out of reach before you got to halftime. It was a great play.
Yeah, it was like it came out and you were like, okay, they're going to run the ball downhill against this defense that doesn't have any of their starters in the middle, right? I think they had one guy who was a starter, starter on their defense in the middle, and then we threw an out route. And like you're saying, if Keenan Allen doesn't get his hand on that ball, J.C. Horn scores a touchdown, right? And you're like, oh, my goodness. And then you see again that the Panthers recognize that they can get Chris Williams, the backup D tackle at nose guard. They do a motion. They get Billings to the three technique. By that, I mean he's outside shoulder to guard. And they put Williams at nose. They come down, they block him, and it's an easy, I think, 38-yard touchdown by Chuba Hubbard, right? So you're wondering, oh, my gosh, like these are things we were worried about, right? We're worried about. And then they come out, and they do what you thought they should have done. And you understand, right, they want to get their young quarterback comfortable, give him an easy out route to Keenan Allen, and only he should throw the ball to where only Keenan Allen can catch it. It was almost disastrous, right? It was almost like the worst start you could think of. It could have been 14-0 to start. But, Keenan Allen, that's why you sign him, right? He makes a great play. He turns into a defensive back, knocks it out of his hands. They clean that all up, go down, score a touchdown, and the rest is history. I mean, there were only a couple plays like that in the first half. There was the 4th-and-1. They got stopped, but Brisker comes back immediately and puts a huge hit on tight end Tremble, and they get the ball right back and score again. So like you're saying, after that, it was an avalanche on the Carolina Panthers, but the start was a little rough, a little scary to watch, and you're a little bit worried, but they got going immediately after that.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Olin, one of the biggest players or most important factors about the Bears' defensive line has been the emergence of Jervon Dexter. He had another big game, 4 quarterback hits, and you look at what he's been able to do rushing the passer. It's been impressive. I heard you talking as well about maybe against the run he could be a little more stout at times, and you see that on occasion. But overall, how would you describe his development and how important he's been to this Bears defense?
Yeah, it's been real impressive to watch him grow, and the addition of Eric Washington, working on his technique, working on his skills, him. I heard you guys talking about him committing to be a pro. And you can see it, right? You can see him playing. I always wondered, even when he wasn't playing great last year, if Ryan Poles took him and thought about Chris Jones, right? The great defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. Same stature, same height, almost same weight. And you could see him overwhelm guys with his length and his size at the point of attack. And he is a big, strong, physical athlete. And maybe – with his emergence, they don't have to play left and right anymore. Maybe they can put Billings in those and just leave him at three technique. And like you're talking about, right, the Bears run defense. You're still a little bit worried about that, even from what you've seen yesterday. You go back to the Colts game. The Colts end the game running the ball, right? The run defense, you still worry about it a little bit watching the game. But as far as Jervon Dexter goes, man, he has worked on his craft. He has turned into a professional. He has been fun to watch through these first few weeks of the season.
Olin, it was, and we should tell people, this segment with Olin Krutz sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. Olin, I'm just curious. You saw Tevin Jenkins play despite the rib injury, and now he's got a new injury. He's got an ankle. That's deflating, I think, that he's struggling as much as he is to stay in the game. I also thought it was wild that they went with Bill Murray as the guy that comes into play. Does that mean that Nate Davis is he just on the pay no mind list? Is he what? You know what I'm saying? Like they didn't even go to him when there was an injury.
Yeah, it's you thought, I thought Nate Davis was coming back on the field again. Maybe they don't want to keep moving Pryor, right? So they got to move Pryor back to left guard if Nate Davis comes back on the field. So Murray comes in and plays, which leads you to believe that Nate Davis is really he may be close to not getting a jersey on game day, right? Which is disappointing for the contract they gave him, and we've been going through this with Nate Davis, it seems, now for 2 years now, and the Bears are just saying, they're telling us exactly what they think, right? That it's Pryor, then it's Murray, then it's Nate Davis. So very interesting what's going on there. Obviously, we can guess what's going on there. We've seen this throughout the year. We've heard Coach Eberflus challenge him from the podium, right? Yes. Guys, like when a head coach challenges you from the podium, what you have to realize is that's his last effort to get you going, right? That's his last time he's challenged you in the building. He's had you in his office. He's met with you about doing things the right way, getting going a little bit. We want to get you on the right path. Everyone's tried everything. Let's try to let the public know this guy's got to play better football. They did all of that. It still didn't work. So now they're on to Pryor, and now they're on to Murray, which is disappointing to me because Nate Davis, healthy Nate Davis, playing Nate Davis football, to me is still their best right guard right now on that roster.
So, Olin, I'm sure you're quietly very thrilled every time that you get two centers into the offensive huddle at the same time. But I wonder, at this stage, what do you think of the Bears' short yardage package, including Doug Kramer? And could you help us understand why they called a clip on him? Mm-hmm. You haven't heard that penalty explained or called in a very long time, it seems, and just describe that play if you could.
Yeah, the rule is your body has to be in front of his thigh board. As you notice, when he cut him from behind. You can't be behind the defender and cut him in the back of the legs. You have to be in front of his thigh board. So they put those rules in to protect the defensive players. If you guys remember the old Denver Broncos with Alex Gibbs, the outside zone scheme, they were cutting guys on the back of their legs to get those guys free, to get Terrell Davis free down the field to cut the backside of the defense. And there was no rules before inside the tackle box. By that, I mean, if you draw a box between the tackles up almost to the linebackers, that's the offensive line box. A lot of things are legal in there that aren't legal anywhere else on the field. There are not a lot of penalties called in there, but that one, they are watching for. He just got to, he doesn't play that position a lot, right, David? He hasn't done that. Go in motion, come back, cut the line of scrimmage. I mean, the guy you can see when he's on the run, Pat Manley and Lawrence Holmes are talking about, he's an incredible athlete. The speed he moves at, you can see all the numbers he had at the combine where people talked about how fast he ran his 40, how well he did in a lot of the agility drills because he can really move out there, man. But there, just on that, he's just got to get, two or three more steps in, get in front of the defender instead of cutting him from the back. As far as the short yardage package goes, I like it. I like you put stress on the defense when you put big bodies on the field. We were hoping yesterday, Pat Manley pointed out, we were hoping we'd see Kramer in the flat for a touchdown pass, right? But we didn't get to see that. So I like the package. Like the fact that you line up and say, look, man, we're going to run God's play here. We're going to run power roll. Yesterday, they hit it a little bit by putting Kramer at the wing. They put him in motion and then hitting the end guy. But I really like it. It's an attitude play. It's a culture play. This is who we are. We're coming downhill at you. Worked yesterday against the Panthers. Worked last week against the Rams. I really enjoy that style of football.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about their identity and the balance they seek. That's part of their identity. They now have a kind of a tush-push play, unique thing that they can do that other teams aren't doing. So I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. It is good. It is good. And it's like you, like we've talked about when we talked about moving Tevin to right guard. You have to have something you do in those situations that everyone knows you're going to do, and it doesn't really matter. We're going to get the first down here anyway. We're going to get those chains moved, or we're going to get a touchdown here by the end zone. And a lot of that, of course, is the big man Darnell Wright over there at Pryor on that side of the offensive line and putting Mercedes Lewis next to them. That's quite a tandem coming off the ball, coming downhill there now. I know they get stopped on that running back to Roschon Johnson, a dive, kind of like a fullback dive there, putting Roschon at fullback. But that wasn't God's play. That wasn't Power O. That now guys have to load up on that play, and you'll see some play actions off of that.
Olin, I know that you have high standards for this. So did what transpired in the end zone, the little scuffle, qualify as a fight to you? And what did you think of it?
Well, I think that if the, you know, Carolina Panthers head coach is going to show up in a medium shirt, obviously they want to start a fight during the game. He looked like a bouncer, so you would expect a fight to break out in the end zone. Look, when I'm watching that, it's just teammates trying to back each other up, right? You got each other's back. That's also how you build culture, right? You don't want to be as dumb as it is, as stupid as it is. I think Vilma did a great job explaining, like, what the hell is going on here, right? It's really what you're thinking, but you don't want to be the guy on film doing nothing, right? You don't want to be the guy not backing up your teammates. As much as God's play builds culture, so does jumping in there, backing up your teammates. J.C. Horn, looked rough day for the Carolina Panthers. A lot of frustration. A lot of their best players are out, right? He talked about D.J. Moore not being there anymore. Yeah. He's got a backup center running at him full speed. He's got to take that on. Then he's shoving him. Then he shoves him back. And then someone gets punched in the back of the neck. Then someone gets hit. Nobody got hurt. Everybody dusts each other off. Shake hands. Let's go to the locker room. Game over.
That's so much fun. I think that it must be difficult to be on the Carolina Panthers and your quarterback isn't what you thought he was, and you trade away good players and you're looking at all. I mean, the trade stuff is everywhere. I'm sure that will eventually sort of get to you, especially if you're a guy like him who was going against DJ Moore in practice all the time. It just made sense to me. I'm wondering why the officials don't call late hits in this case it was kind of an out of bounds hit on the Bears quarterback Caleb Williams. Did that look like it should have been a penalty, or was he still in the air and he's an open target and you take a shot at him? I just felt like, you know, maybe they don't respect him yet, but you got to protect the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, in today's NFL, everything's a penalty, right? So you're shocked whenever you see a hit and the flags don't come out, right? So, and that did seem a little bit late. We went through this with Justin Fields a while ago now.
Right.
Caleb's a different runner than Justin Fields. So we've been saying this for 2 years. It just seems like the Bears quarterbacks don't get those calls. Hopefully, eventually we do, because like you see in a lot of these games, you know, with the Chiefs and with Tom Brady before and Aaron Rodgers, they're game changers, right? They're game. These roughing the quarterback calls, if you start getting them, they really are game changers. There was one. Man, last night Justin Fields got hit. He got that call. That was a big hit, right? So calls like that, I thought it was close. I thought he could have threw it. He could have not threw it. But you'd like to see eventually the Chicago Bears start to get calls like that, because, like I said, they move the chains. They're free 15 yards, and you got to take them.
Great stuff, Olin.
Thanks, Olin. Really appreciate
it, guys.
Have a good week. Buddy.